All right. Hello. Thank you, everyone, for coming to this recital. Before we begin, there's a few thank yous I'd like to say. First of all, everybody in my church family who supported me, and it's just been an incredibly rewarding experience working here. It's just been great. And I think very few musicians could ask for a happier place to share their music. So I really thank you for that. And also, I'd like to thank Laura and everyone who helped with the reception. It's incredible, and I really appreciate that. So look forward to that afterwards. So I have a few program notes that I'd like to share with you about the piece. So the first piece, Mozart's 12th Sonata in F major, was published in 1784, probably in Vienna, but there's some people think that he might have composed this along with three other sonatas when he was visiting his father in Salzburg. The first movement, the Allegro, is very traditional sonata form. It uses a kind of unique new style that was popular at the time called Sturm und Drang, or Storm and Stress. So you'll hear moments where it's very peaceful, very lyrical, and then moments where it's really fiery and bold. The second movement, the Adagio, is a beautiful, quiet, contemplative, slow, lyrical piece. It's excellent melody, wonderful piece. And then the last movement, probably the most famous from this sonata, the Allegro assai, is in 6-8, and it's just a tour force of the 16th notes, constant flowing 16th notes, and really exciting piece. So, yeah, Mozart's 12th Sonata in F major. The next piece on the program is Beethoven's 27th Sonata, which was written in 1814 and is generally considered to be a late middle period sonata. So when we talk about his sonatas in particular, we divide Beethoven's life into early, middle, and late period sonatas. And some historians count this sonata as one of the late period sonatas. It's right on the edge there. So he was really experimenting tonally and harmonically with this sonata, but it's still in traditional forms. So he hasn't gone completely experimental like he did in his late period yet. So the movements have those long German names, and basically they're just describing how to play it. So the first one says with liveliness and with feeling and passion throughout, and the second one says not too swiftly and conveyed in a singing manner. The first movement is in sonata form, traditional sonata form. The second movement's kind of interesting. It's in what we call a sonata rondo form. So it has this main theme, which you'll hear a bunch of times, and it keeps coming back. And so it'll have that theme, and then there'll be a section with different musical material. It'll go back to the theme, and it keeps inserting that theme back until the very end. An interesting note about this sonata is that when it was composed, the lowest note on the piano at the time was this F. This F1 here. And since it's written in the key of E minor, there are certain sections which would have called for this E, but it wasn't on the piano at the time. So didn't write it in the music. So there's some debate with music historians whether you should add in those E's that you think would be there if he had had it. This is kind of an interesting little debate that goes on, but you'll be hearing it as it's written without the low E's. So, okay, hope you enjoy it. The next piece on the program is Polonaise in A-flat major by Frédéric Chopin. It was composed in 1842. Some interesting things about this piece is a Polonaise is a type of Polish dance, a Polish national dance, in 3/4 time. It was originally a peasant dance, and then later it made its way into the French aristocracy courts. It's most notable because of what we call the Polonaise rhythm. So it's this... that rhythm, which you hear repeated over and over again. It was one of the only Polonaises that was actually given a name. It's also known as the Heroic Polonaise, which was sort of, he was helped out with that. Chopin tended not to name his pieces. He liked to keep them just called Polonaise, Sonata, things like that, so that it was left to the listener to decide what they thought of it. He didn't want to impose his opinions about the pieces on his listeners, but he was conversing with a close friend and women's rights activist, George Sand, and she had heard the piece and thought it reminded her of the French Revolution of 1848, and that it was it had the sound that could serve as a symbol for the lower classes of people who were in need of reform. So he sort of reluctantly named it the Heroic Polonaise in honor of the French Revolution of 1848. So Polonaise in A-flat major. The final piece this afternoon will be another piece by Chopin, Scherzo No. 2 in B-flat minor. He wrote four scherzos as the second one, composed in 1837 for Count Adele Furstenstein. This is one of my favorite pieces. I love this piece. Robert Schumann wrote of it that it's overflowing with tenderness, boldness, love, and contempt. When it came out, it was one of his most critically acclaimed pieces. A lot of music critics at the time called it a masterpiece. They compared it to the Mona Lisa or to Shakespeare's. So these days, it's not as often played, but I still think it's a wonderful piece. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you.